And welcome into the second hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show here, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Chase off today. Mike Organ from the Tennessean is sitting in with us. We're still covering the Scottie Scheffler story. If you haven't heard, he was arrested. It's a chaotic story. He's back golfing. By the way, 7700 tells us that on the first hole, Scheffler birdied the first hole after being arrested.
Wow. And that gallery must be going nuts. Yeah. Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, crazy. All right, we'll continue to follow that story. But first, a more important man is our good friend, Titans Forever wide receiver Chris Sanders joined us today. Chris, good morning to you, brother. How are we?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm still kind of sleepy a little bit. Me and my wife, the last couple of weeks, we've been watching thriller movies. So I've been staying up late, and we just been having a good time. So I'm a little sleepy right now.
Well, you need to get up and get going, man.
I'm trying to, man. I mean, my wife, he had me go to bed late, and then she's trying to call the cops on the actors in the movie, so I had to deal with that.
I know we'll get into a lot of Titans talk and everything. But it's also the track team, right? We got Spring Fling coming up. How's the track team doing at NBA?
We're doing pretty good. I mean, we got some relays. We got a guy who jumped 16 feet in the pole vault, and then we have another guy, a freshman, who just jumped 23 feet in the long jump the other day. So we got some good guys in, but the team that's really dominant is McCauley. McCauley and Baylor, they got some dogs, man. They got some sprinters. They got some pole vaulters. Their mascot, even long jump. So they're pretty good.
We got our question of the day is, the greatest athlete you grew up with, you ever saw growing up, you grew up in Denver. Is there one athlete that, we'll even take it to the next level, at Ohio State, who's the greatest athlete that Chris Sanders has ever seen? Because you're a pretty damn good athlete yourself. Yeah.
I would say it was two. One is Lynn Swann, and also it is Joey Galloway that works on ESPN. I mean, when I tell you Joey Galloway was a freak of nature, he was about 5'9", 5'10", but he could bench press 415, and then he can put 315 on his back and lunge, and then on top of that, he ran a 418 electric, and then on top of that, you see what I'm talking about? Then he could. He was really good at basketball, so he's probably one of the greatest athletes I've ever been around, Joey Galloway.
You know, somebody out there is saying Chris Sanders right now.
I'm pretty good. I mean, I just had a bad haircut back then, but I was pretty good. You know, the one record that I'm so proud of that I hope nobody ever breaks is, you know, I broke Jesse Owens' long jump record in 1992 at Ohio State. So that record right there, it means more than just breaking the record. It's just the process leading up to the record was really, really special.
How, I mean, I know it's very surreal, but you did it. When did that set in that you beat a Jesse Owens record?
You know, the funny thing about it is the night before, we was in Iowa. Was it Iowa? Yeah, the Iowa State. And the night before, they were doing a documentary on Jesse Owens. And I'm just looking at it and didn't pay it no mind because I really didn't know the history. So now I go to the track meet, and my coach, Tom Doyle, you know, I'm doing my warm-ups. He said, Chris, you're looking really fast today than you usually. I'm like, okay, whatever. So on my first jump, I jumped 25-11. And then the next jump, I almost jumped out of the pit and jumped 26.9. So he runs up to me, and he says, do you know what you just did? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you just broke Jesse Owens' long jump record. And I really didn't understand the impact of actually what happened. This is what happened. I went back that following day, and I did a research on him. He went to the 1936 Berlin Olympics, and here's a guy who won 4 gold medals. But here's the great part about the love about him is how he overcame adversity. And this is what he did. When he walked in the stadium, everybody booed him. Everybody, oh, boo, and Hitler, all that stuff. When you know the situation that went down, they were booing him and all this stuff. But at the end of getting his 4th gold medal, the same people that were booing him were the same people that gave him a standing ovation. That's why I love Jesse Owens. Not what he did on the field, but how he handled adversity. That's why I love that guy.
Do you guys – how good a baseball player were you, Chris?
I was pretty good. I mean, I could hit it. I can bunt it and steal the third. So, you know, I could run. I was okay. I mean, I played baseball as a young kid. You know, I played T-ball. And then you remember, I don't know if they still had it, but they used to have those pitching machines. I used to play with those, and they used to put the ball in there, and I would hit the ball. So I was okay. I was fast, but I was all right.
I was wondering because the three of us, you, me, and Joe Dubin, were in the Bubba Perry softball game one year. And I'm trying to think back. I remember you showing up, and this wasn't long after you had stopped playing, so you were, and obviously you're still in top shape, but you were, I mean, you were in NFL condition back then, out there with a bunch of us, a ragtag bunch out there. But yeah, the three of us played in Bubba Perry's softball game.
Yeah, I remember you hit a shot to right field and you got a home run because you were so fast, and we were all like watching you run the bases. We're like,
just didn't chase it.
This guy is like a cheetah. Good Lord.
But see, if I tried to do that now, I probably wouldn't make it to second because the hamstring would pop. You know, my bun, you know, my toe would be swell up. My big toe, I mean, everything. Because the thing about it is funny because in our mind, we think that we still can do those things. If I tried to run a 10-yard dash, I wouldn't make it past five because my hamstring would pop.
How much thought did you put into going out for the Cats with your old coach, Jeff Fisher, out there? Did that cross your mind?
Zero chance. First of all, when you get married, time is not going to happen. My baby Faith, she'd be like, she'd give me the side eye like, you are not running the route. Number two, the walls don't move. So, you know, with me, if I'm running and I dive for a ball, the wall's not going to be, okay, Chris, I'm going to get out the way. It's not going to move. And number three, my hamstring is going to pop again.
Damn, we got to get you a new hamstring or something. You worried about that.
No, it'll be the other one.
That's right. We got two of them. I don't even know if I have a hamstring. I haven't ran in 30 years, so I don't know. We're talking to Chris Sanders this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show. So let me ask, there's another question doing this. You know, the thing now is like, you know, if you're going to play baseball and growing up, you have to play baseball all year long. Look, yeah. I'm not a great athlete, neither is Mike, but we played all the sports, right? How important is it to play all the sports? Because I'm tired of this narrative, Chris, if you're playing football, you can only play football. No. That's garbage.
It is, and I'm glad you brought that up because this is going to make you laugh, and this is a true story. I played three sports. I played football, I wrestled, and then I ran track. I didn't play basketball. And each sport taught me something. Let me tell you what wrestling taught me. Wrestling taught me how to overcome my fear. You know, because when I was a little frail kid, I weighed 109 pounds as a freshman. I'm wrestling 112. So what wrestling helped me do is help me overcome my fear. So like when – I'm going to give you a perfect example. It's kind of like when they call your name for you to get on the mat, you have two choices, to run out the gym or get on the mat and face your competition. So that's what it taught me. And then football taught me to where you got to take coaching. You got to – you know, there's going to be times in life where you get hurt, but you got to play hurt. So it taught me in life you're going to have to play hurt. And then track, you know, it's kind of like a race. It taught me that sometimes when you're running a long, long distance, when your mind is telling you to quit, you just got to figure out a way to push through it. That's why I love sports. It doesn't just teach you how to run routes and run fast and how to wrestle. It teaches you about life, and that's why I played three sports.
And, Chris, also talk about the similarities in wrestling and football and how much they can help you with leverage and everything else.
Oh, that's huge because if you're looking at wrestling, you got to use your hands, you got to use your feet. And if I'm a wide receiver at the line of scrimmage, we always talk about get the DB off his spot. You know, when I say get the DB off his spot, you got to make a move. So what I have to do as a wide receiver, I have to use my feet and I have to use my hands. So now you look at wrestling, it's the exact same thing. I got to use quick hands and I use good feet when I'm taking a single leg or a double leg down. It kind of coincides with each other.
Well, I just think it's important that they play all the sports because that's all we did growing up. And now I think if you play one sport, like these travel baseball guys, they get burnt. And I've talked to many parents, Chris. They get burned out by the time these guys get to their senior year or, you know, first year of college because they've done it and there's not no diversity there. Look, if you do that one sport, that's fine. Yeah. But to say not do it, I got a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you too because the thing about it is if I just play football, it starts to become a job. Sometimes you need to get away from it and do something different. And that's why I love playing three sports because when I play football and you go to practice every day, you look at film, you have free game, and you just kind of gets redundant and it becomes a job. Then now you go to wrestling, now you don't have to deal with meetings. Now you don't have to deal with watching film. You're just figuring out how to pin somebody and do a half Nelson. Then you come to track. I don't want to pin nobody anymore. I want to beat somebody in 100-meter dash. I want to do a long jump. So it's refreshing to do something different but have a variety and being good at what you do.
We're talking a little Titans now. The rookies just finished up their first mini camp. I mean, I know their head's spinning. What was it like for you when you went to your first kind of rookie mini camp with the Oilers? Did you even know what city you were in? Did you know where you were?
I had no idea. I was like, am I in Denver? I didn't know what was going on. But, you know, here's the funny thing about it. It's my first day of practice or showing up. The first person I met was Les Steckel. And Les Stucco kind of tell me what I was going to get myself into. You got veterans. You got, you know, all these guys that don't know who you are. You're going to have to prove yourself. They don't care what you did in Pop Warner. They don't care what you did in high school. They don't care what you do in college. So getting in that atmosphere, I wanted to make sure I proved not to the coaches, but proved to my teammates that I can play. Give you a perfect example. When I first met Chris Chandler, he wouldn't even talk to me. I walked by him and said, "Hey, Chris Chandler." He just looked at me like, "Man, don't be talking to me." So what I did is I said, "Guess what? I'm going to learn the playbook so good, I'm going to consistently show up on film, and I'm going to make you like me." By the second game, after I scored 2 touchdowns against the San Antonio Bengals, now we're buddies, now we're singing Kumbaya, My Lord, and all that. And I just earned the respect. But, man, I came in with an attitude, because here's the deal. Everybody would say, "Oh, he's a track guy playing football, this and that." So even though my head was spinning, and even though I was making, you know, some mistakes, I was coachable, and I made it a point that you're going to see me on. You're going to see number 81 on the film.
When you got – let me – this is a kind of a serious question for once. When you got drafted, you go back home to Denver where you're from, and I know there's still some boys hanging around. Did you have to avoid – because I know I would have to avoid certain people in my life who are like, "Hey, let's go party, man. Let's go down the block." And like, "Look, man, that's a whole different world I'm in now."
It is, because my vision changed. You know, when I was in high school, you know, I used to go out and act silly. I'm not going to act like I was Mr. Innocent, because I made a lot of mistakes. But I had to understand that my vision's changed. You know, I got to be a father now. I got to be a husband now. I got to do all these things. So I can't go out and drop it like it's hot anymore. Because first of all, I hurt the other hamstring. So I don't want to do that. But the one thing I had to understand is football was what I did. It wasn't who I was. You know, and the one thing that these guys got to understand when they play football, you got to have a vision beyond football, because you better believe that's what the NFL stands for. Not for long, because you're not going to be there for a long time.
Chris, to piggyback off that a little bit, once you established yourself and you had made it, quote unquote, what about when you got around people from back in the day, or what? Not even back in the day, but just people that kind of hanger-oners. That, you know, now you're established and you've made some money, and they've got their hand out. How do you handle that? You know, because you're one of the best guys I know. You and Rudy Kalis, who just happen to be great friends, are two of the best men I know. And I know that you want to help people, but how do you govern that? Because everybody has their hand out.
That's a great point, because it's – can I just be honest, just strictly honest with you?
Sure.
Sometimes it's camouflaged, because it's not the people that are putting their hand out. It's the ones that are closest, the ones that that's the hardest part, because, you know, we say in our mind, "I want to help this person," but the ones that are closest to you are the ones that are taken out of your pocket. And it's kind of, and I think being in the league, sometimes it's hard to say no, because the ones you think you can trust, the ones that say they love you, the ones that say they got your back, is the ones that's really taken for you. So now, as me being wiser, when I become a billionaire one day, now I'm gonna be wise in what I do. So when people are saying, "Give me a handout," it's not that I'm going to give you a handout. I'm going to help somebody that needs help. Say if we got a mom that has a situation at home where she can't pay her, you know, her light bills, or her kids who want to go to college and they don't have the money, then I'm going to figure out a way to make sure that their whole house is taken care of, and, you know, their kid goes to school for 4 or 5 years. That's the stuff that I get. That's the people that I want to help. Not somebody that's trying to take from me, but I want to be a giver like me and my wife want to do.
Well, so one final question. So who can you trust?
Jesus Christ, you know, and I'm not, you know, and the thing about it is, you know, listen, I'll be the first person to say I've made a lot of mistakes, but the thing about it is the what you surround yourself with is what you become. And I got a beautiful, amazing woman with faith, and I can trust her. I can look her in her eyes. I know she loves me. She may not like me in the morning because I got morning breath, but hanging around her makes me better. Hanging around, you know, people that you can say, "You know what, and in spite of, I love you," and that's the people that I'm going to hang myself around. I made a decision in the last 3 or 4 months. I made a decision that I'm hanging around people that have the same vision, the same goals, the same love to make others better. That's the cats that I'm hanging around.
Ah, you're a beautiful man. We appreciate you, brother.
Love y'all so much. I didn't mean to get all preacher, but goodness gracious.
Always do it, man. Thank you, Chris Sanders, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Forever Titans receiver. And I tell you, he's just – we love talking to him, because it's so much more than football, because he's been there, made the mistakes, and kind of redeemed himself and turned everything around, and now he helps young men and women today. Such a great guy. All right, back more with the Chase and Big Joe Show. Chase on vacation. Mike Morgan. Mike Morgan. Wasn't there a pitcher named Mike Morgan for the Dodgers?
Yes, and also there was a great football player in town, went to, over to the high school and then on the MTSU, Mike Morgan. And really? I think there's an SEC announcer now that is Mike Morgan.
Too many Mike Morgans and too many Mike Morgans. Anyway, we're back with more. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel.